Welcome to episode 5 of The Cadence Beat. This is the podcast about creating effective websites with WordPress, Cadence, and Blocks. Hey, you guys, how you doing this week?
Good morning. Doing good.
Yep, doing great here.
Excellent. Let's just dive right in and start talking about effective website strategies. We're getting a lot of feedback from listeners that they're really enjoying this portion of the podcast. So let's talk more about effective website strategies. And this topic is a little beyond the website, but what is a website for but to connect people with your brand? And so we wanted to talk a little bit about how to get a community of fans around your brand in the internet age. And Cadence has been very successful in doing this. And I wanted to pick your brains a little bit about your experiences, especially in the early days of Cadence. How did Cadence grow such an invested community of people who love Cadence?
That is a great question.
Let me just jump in and say, if you've followed me on social media anywhere, which I would tell you not to, because you'll notice I haven't posted in years, and I'm just never been good at it. So when Cadence started, one of the first things that I was so happy to be like, Hannah, you can be in charge of social media. Whatever that means and whatever we need to do, just you be in charge. So here, me wanting to focus on products and everything with Cadence in the early days, I'm like, here, sister, you're good at social media. I look at you on Instagram and it's cool. Like, you figure this out. Hannah, what did you do?
Yeah, I cringe a little bit thinking back to what I did. I think we had a conversation and we were like, what do we post? Do I just post pictures of like things that we're creating and pictures of our theme? And that sounded so boring to me. And so we were like, well, let's just show the people that we're normal and that we're cool. And that we do cool things, that we're not just like techie people who sit behind screens all day. And we started this like almost outdoor brand. And we got a couple people comment and be like, oh my gosh, I love that you guys are normal people. I'm a Cadence fan because you guys love the outdoors and you live in Missoula and all these things. Well, I took that feedback and ran with it and didn't do much of anything else for years probably. And then started realizing, I think it was at a WordCamp, somebody was like, I don't know who you are. You're not on Twitter. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And I was like, oh, shoot. Yeah, people don't know us. And and so then I was like, okay, we need to broaden our space here.
Yeah. The first time, so Virtue had over 100,000 active installs and was on the top 10 popular list for 4 or 5 years. This was back in 2013, 14, 15. And so the first time I went to a WordCamp, I just expected I'd be able to be like, yeah, like I'm Ben from Cadence. And people would be like, oh, yeah, the Virtue theme. Nobody knew about Cadence. Nobody even knew about the Virtue theme. I was like, how do we have this many users and no one here knows me? I spent an entire weekend at a WordCamp just trying to find somebody that knew what Virtue was and knew anything about us. And I didn't find a single person. And so it was like, oh, like there's a community in WordPress of people that want to be a part and have a conversation and all of that. And then there's users who just go on, grab a website, and they're not actually engaging with the brand at all. And so I think for us, it was like, we got to find some ways to engage with the brand. And I think one of the big things early on was support. We've always taken the stance of we drop everything for support. I'm in support forums. Everybody is. We don't just be like, that's a secondary thing. It's if support's not going well, then everything else is going to fall apart. And so I feel like where we started to like actually get a community of people that like knew us or knew about Cadence is like largely through our support forums.
Yeah. And there's people listening to this podcast who have been on our support forums for 5, 6 years. I know because they've told me on our forums, and that's super fun. And I feel connected to them. I'm like, we go way back. And that is cool. We're not just like robots over here. We really have tried to connect with people and support and do a really good job and go above and beyond. And that was our marketing tactic, or that was our outlet for success in the beginning, was just being able to engage in that way and really truly help people, even one-on-one, create effective websites.
And so you had the forums, the support forums, but then you also started a Facebook community group. And how did that kind of come about, and how did that affect the brand?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think for a while we were hearing people say, you need to be on Facebook, you need to be on Facebook. And then finally decided to create this Facebook group, not really knowing if anybody would join or even want to be a part of it. And it was like so quickly, we were like, oh, wow, we should have done this years ago, because I think we have some 8,000 people in our Facebook group now, and people are constantly dialoguing and creating community and posting their websites and asking for help. And it's really beautiful to see this community that's been formed in this group. And it's really something I wish we would have done a long time ago.
And I'm seeing people in that group. You guys probably know who they are. I'm new to Cadence, but I see people who don't work for us who are helping other people. So it's almost like you created like this little army of people who are supporting other users. So there's a lot of community support that's happening there too.
Yeah. For the longest time, I was trying to figure out, how do we get people who want to engage to help other people on our forums? So just labeling them like community forums and things like that. But there really wasn't any, like, no one was helping each other out until Facebook. And then something about Facebook, say what you want about Facebook, but something about the feeling that these are real people, because there's like, when you're on a website forum or whatever, you still don't get that connection of like their profile and their information. And it's so weird sometimes where you can click on somebody's profile and be like, oh, that's a picture of their kids and that was their last birthday. And like you get these intimate views into people through that. And so when you're in the group, you just get a sense of these are real people much more than any online forum. I feel like online forums just way more anonymous. And then Facebook, but then inside the group, you're still having a semi-private conversation. Only the people in the group gets to see what this is. And yeah, what we didn't know, and then getting involved there, like that was a huge way to connect with people and just really build a community of people that wanted to help each other and wanted to take part and wanted to provide feedback. We've gotten tons of feedback from Facebook.
Now, I know a lot of people, when they start a company, they worry a lot about what the website's going to look like. They worry about what their logo is going to look like and how they're going to present themselves, what their mission is, or how they're going to phrase things, the headline on their homepage. They put a lot of investment into that, but not necessarily putting themselves out there. There's almost like this fear of wanting to hide behind the company and make the company look perfect and hide behind that or not put themselves out there in that way. And so starting a Facebook group like that, where you are exposed as an individual associated with a brand, can be scary. Did you guys have any experience like that? And what would you say to somebody who's getting started and has those types of fears?
I would say I get you 100%, and I still live with those fears or whatever. I am very just want to be more private. I don't think to be like, oh, let me just post this so everyone can see the twins and how they're rolling around now. It's not natural for me, but I often am like, man, I should, because it is connection and people just want human connection and they want to feel like you're a real person and, oh yeah, you're experiencing similar things to me. And so I think certainly other people have done it better in the Cadence brand, but we have done some more of that. Creating a Facebook group was a nice way to isolate, to be like, we can post on our page as the brand, but then inside of the group, you can post as yourself, and that helps. But yeah, I think it is tricky. I think it's also tricky to find like where you should be posting, because if you just post on your own social media, no one's going to know that's connected with your brand. So you do have to find that connection of, you don't want your brand's social media just to be basically a reflection of your own. But at the same time, you want your brand social media to be more intimate than just this brand feeling. And so I think finding out where that should be is something you have to figure out for your audience and figure out for who you have. Like, maybe a Facebook group is the right decision, or maybe it's something else. Maybe all of your fans are on Instagram and you're going to do stories that are way more intimate and showing behind the scenes, where your posts might be a little bit more professional, things like that. I think there has to be some exploration as to what's working, and then a willingness to be like, okay, so yeah, no one is following us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Maybe we should try Twitter. Like, maybe that's where our customers are at. And I think what's helpful is to find those customers and be like, hey, where do you want to engage with us? And that's where, for us, it was like over and over again, you guys should get a Facebook group.
Just to add to that, I really don't think you can downplay the importance of human connection. It's so tempting in building a brand to want to create this illusion that you're bigger than you are. And I think there is strategy to that, that it's not just you, it's a team. But also, there needs to be outlets where you can come down to the earth and be like, this is who I am. This is what we are. This is what we're creating. and make it relatable. I think that's so important.
It's important to moderate a community and make sure if there's conflict or if somebody's posting things that they shouldn't. Did that ever become a challenge? Did it ever feel like it was too much or got out of hand?
No, I definitely moderate a bit. And there's some people that I don't accept their posts and I message them nicely. And that's that. But I think for the most part, people stay pretty kind.
I think what helps is, like, we're going to get complaints and every company's going to get complaints and we're going to drop the ball. We're humans and we're going to make mistakes or whatever. We're going to miss it. And I think when you're dealing with a community like this, you just want to make sure, hey, we'll make it right. We'll do what we can and make sure that there's a clear, this is where you go for that, because like a Facebook group is not where you go if you, like, I 100% need an answer from the support team at Cadence, we're going to miss a lot of posts in there because it's just a lot of posts. Like, it's not like a support channel. And so just making sure things are clear, hey, like, this is a great way to get community input, but if you need Cadence and you absolutely need a support, we have a support channel. And just trying to, like, constantly clarify that too can help a lot, to be like, hey, maybe we did mess up or whatever, we'll make it right, and this is where you can go to deal with that, so that way you can help the flow.
And then that way the community stays community and it's not an individual type of support situation.
Yeah.
Hannah, we got a question, didn't we, from a customer that was listening to the podcast and had a specific question about, what was it about, dynamic content? What did they say?
Yeah, so we had a question come in. He said, I'm new to the idea of dynamic content, and I love that Cadence makes this possible. My problem is that I don't have any good ideas for when to use it. I don't need a how-to, so as much as I thought talking about some example websites, maybe from different businesses, would be great to hear about. I love this question because I think dynamic content is so broad and so complex, and I think a lot of people are just like, that's a little scary, and they don't use it. So maybe, sure. Ben, you could tell us some use cases for when this would be used and why to use it over other things or when not to use it.
Yeah, let's just start with what is dynamic content. And first, just maybe, Kathy, you can outline, like, some of the history for dynamic content on the web.
Because I'm the old lady in the show, right? I've been around because I remember when WordPress came out. And back in the day, I was just getting started with bringing databases online. I was blogging in the early days. And Blogger came out and Movable Type came out. And then this little tool called WordPress came out. And I was like, oh, it's using the same database class that I'm using on my PHP project over here. I'm going to play with this. And then I'm like, oh, this is so much better because we've got data, our blog posts, our blog titles, our blog categories. All of this is separated from the design because back in the day, you wanted to change the look and feel of your blog all the time. Next month, it's going to look completely different, but you didn't want to go redesign every individual page. So having all of your blog content in a database made perfect sense. Because if you were using movable type and you wanted to do that, the database engine would just kind of like output all of these HTML files. And it was kind of a pain. If you were using Blogger, it was all on their systems. So it was kind of like using a Squarespace type of situation. Using a database made sense because it separated your content from the design, and you can change your design. I never really knew what plugins were going to be for back in the day, but I think we know now. It has made a lot of dynamic content possible, like WooCommerce. That's dynamic content, isn't it?
Yeah.
Products and product types and customers are all stored in this database. And these databases are just basically like a collection of spreadsheets that are interrelated. So one spreadsheet knows what is keyed into what another spreadsheet might have. So you might have customers associated with products and they're keyed together. So an order is also connected with products and a customer. And so all of these different spreadsheets are related. So that dynamic content comes sort of a natural evolution of what WordPress set up in the early days. And now we're seeing all kinds of things, aren't we?
Yeah, I think you can drive that into an example being like your blog posts on your website is like sourced dynamically from a database. And so what Cadence dynamic content is, what we call it, what that essentially is trying to do, or what's giving you the option to do, is to make connections with something you've put on your page in terms of like, I want an image here, with some database entry somewhere. And so you typically, when you build a page, you put an image in and then you source the image right then and you say, I want to use this image, and it's static. So every time that page loads, that image shows because you statically said, this image always associate with this URL. And what dynamic content does is it can say, if this image is being shown in this condition, I want to show this, or if this image is being shown. And so what then you get is you get the ability to build templates where you say, I'm going to design a template for how all of these posts are going to look. And so just in the basic form, if you wanted to, you can go into Cadence, you can choose elements, create a template, and you can override your single post type page template. And you can say, instead of what Cadence automatically outputs, I want to output something totally different. I want this big background image up here, and I want to source that background image to be something. Maybe it's the featured image for the post, or maybe it's some other dynamic content. And so you can outline the template, and then every time that single post is loaded, it's going to say, okay, this is the post, and I'm going to pull all these elements in. And so that's like what dynamic content is doing, is it's allowing you to design, but not source it statically. Just source it from different kinds of dynamic sources that conditionally can change. And so a common use case for this on your website, outside of, let's just say you want to control the post page, but what a lot of people want to do is a way to show my staff, and I want to make this caveat first. If you have three or four staff, you don't want to go down this road. Just make a page and put the three or four staff in it and you're done. But if you have 50 staff, and let's say every month you're taking one out or you're adding two, and you need a way to manage that, then it can make sense for you to create a custom post type, which you can do that with custom post type UI plugin, and then use something like advanced custom fields to basically say, instead of me using Gutenberg to design the staff layout, and then every time there's a new staff person, they have to copy the old layout and put it in the new one, you can basically say, you know what? I'm going to make this really easy on the person adding staff. I'm going to say, look, there's a title, there's a little description box, and there's social links right here, and there's an image input. And so they're basically just filling out a form on the back end of your site for every time they want to add a new staff. And then what you're doing with dynamic content is you're basically then going in and you're creating the template. You're going to say, okay, if we're loading up a staff page, I want to source this advanced image block. I want it to be sourced from the image input that we've put in this custom post type. And I want the title to be sourced from the post title. And I want the description to be sourced from this advanced custom fields meta description. And then down the road, if you wanted to change that design for all 50, 100 staff you have, it's very easy to do because you're just changing one template versus needing to change every single staff post.
So there's a lot of different use cases for this. Let's say if you're a real estate company and you have a bunch of rentals that you're trying to get rented, you could have those set up. You could have all of the properties that you're trying to sell. You could have a listing of all of the types of clients they represent. Are they commercial? Do they just deal with rentals? So you're basically thinking out how a business, how it categorizes all of the different types of ways to interact with their products, their staff members, and you're categorizing those type of things and then making templates associated with the data that you've categorized. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. I think it's important to know that like dynamic content is going to be the most successfully used when you're talking about lots of data. Like, we have a lot of blog posts, or we have a lot of portfolio posts, or a lot of testimonials. When you just have a few, sourcing things and creating the templates and all that stuff doesn't really make sense. But when you have a lot, it really can benefit you because now you have control over the template that's going to affect a lot of different things at once, and you're not having to go in and manually change page by page.
And the web is constantly evolving, and look and feel of a modern site, that definition keeps changing. So you want to have your data separated from how things look, because then when you want to change all of that, you don't want to have to go like customize each individual page for each individual employee. You just want to create one template, change that template, and boom. And all of this is built into Cadence. It's in Cadence Elements templating. And there's also dynamic elements in Cadence blocks.
Yeah, if you're going to be building templates, you, like Core has some basic dynamic blocks. Like they have a featured image block and a post title block. But if you want to do more advanced things, especially if you want to connect with advanced custom fields, that's where templating using Cadence Blocks Pro can be really powerful, because then you can say, I want the title to be on top of the featured image. You can do that because of the row layout. You can source that background dynamically, and then you can source the text to be the title dynamically. Everything that Cadence does in terms of, we want to give you, make this a design tool for your website in terms of giving you real control of the design, and now you can source a lot of things dynamically. So you're not limited to, I'm going to create a custom template, but I only have 5 blocks that I can use, and there's no design things to them. I can only change the order of stuff. What Cadence is saying is, no, you can design it. You can really design it and source it dynamically.
Right. And so let's say you have tons of data and you want to have, let's say it's employee listing. We'll continue with that example. But you have one or two employees that you need to have something special happen with there. How would you approach that?
Yeah, you could copy the template. That's one option. And then say, hey, I want this template to apply to only these two staff. Like maybe you got your VP staff or something like that. Another way, you can use Cadence elements and hook it into the content. So you can say, if I really just want to add a banner at the top of this and say, this is employee of the month or whatever, and I just want to put a banner right above their name, well, I can still use elements and hook that banner in right above the content. So that's a way too. And elements is all conditional. So you can say, I only want this to load when it's this staff. Exactly. So there's different ways. You can even do it in the template itself. So in Cadence Blocks, you can add a row layout block and say, hey, I only want what's inside of this to conditionally load when these certain conditions are met. And you could say that condition might be. So there's a lot of ways to do it.
Excellent. And what are some of the tools that somebody might need? They need to first set up the custom post type, and there's a plugin that does that for free. Was it Custom Post Type UI?
Yeah, custom.
That sets up, right?
Yep. That's gonna set up the custom post type in your admin. Just like you have posts and pages, you can create a new one and call it staff. And then Advanced Custom Fields is gonna give you the option to add meta fields. So instead of someone just getting dropped into the Gutenberg editor, you can say, you know what? I actually wanna turn off the Gutenberg editor, and I just want them to have a description box that's just going to take text. And I just want them to have a link input that's just going to take a link. And so you can break down all the pieces that way.
So you can create basically just a data entry thing that will allow, it basically takes away the complexity of adding content. Just put this address right here and nobody has to think about anything about fonts or colors or anything. That's all handled by the template. Cool. All right. Well, we're really grateful for this question that allowed us to kind of dive into not only the concept of dynamic content, but also how to do some of this with Cadence. So that was really helpful. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you, because we'd love to help you get more out of WordPress and get more out of Cadence as well. What's new and upcoming at Cadence, Ben?
Yeah, right now, speaking of dynamic content, there'll be an update out over the next couple days for Metabox support. So right now, we've primarily focused on our dynamic content sourcing support through Advanced Custom Fields. It's free. It's a great plugin. But Metabox is also a great popular option. And so that's the next one we're looking to support, like on a much better level. In general, Cadence can source any custom field, but when you get into these Metabox creators, how they set up the custom field, they can save things in an array or in a string, and so it can be difficult to say, I want to source an image. But what we're doing is we're saying, okay, if you're using an image from Metabox, we know what the data is going to look like, and so now we know how to output that. So Metabox support will be coming, along with some more dynamic stuff into Cadence Blocks Pro, and that's set to launch here soon. We're also working on a show more block, a progress bar block. So those are coming right now. There's this annoying bug where if you are in block and you're in the desktop mode and you switch to tablet, you lose where you were in that block in terms of the settings, like all the panels reset. And this is not a Cadence bug. This is actually a Gutenberg bug. You can do this on any of their core blocks. It does the same thing. And there's a ticket for it. And maybe this will get solved in 6.0, maybe not. So I think at this point, it's annoying enough to us that we're creating a fix for all of the cadence blocks. And then if Core fixes it, that'll be great. But for now, we're going to just go ahead and fix it for cadence blocks. So that's things like that that we're constantly like, okay, what's the best way to do here? Do we wait? Do we not? This is a really annoying one. So we're going to fix it.
Excellent. Hey, Hannah, did you see Ben was on Torque Social Hour talking about cadence and full side editing?
I did see that. He's becoming a celebrity.
He is. I got to watch a little bit of it. I haven't watched the whole thing yet. I'm very excited to finish it up. Very, very good conversation. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. And that's all we've got for the Cadence Beat this week. We're really grateful that you are listening, and we will talk to you next week.